What an amazing day, amen? Just the thought of all that God has accomplished for each and every one of us. Everyone in here, I want you to know, your value is just as much as anyone else that's sitting here today. And all of those who haven't even heard of his name yet. But that's our job to let him know, amen? That's our job. You know, there was a young boy asked his dad, who was the preacher, and he said that his father was writing out the sermon for Easter, and he says, Dad, he said, you know, how do you know what to write? And his father says, well, I read and study, and then I listen to the Lord, and the Lord tells me the direction to go. And he says, well, Dad, how come you keep scratching things out? I think sometimes we've got to be careful that as we live our lives, we're not scratching things out that we don't like, or maybe the things that God is speaking to us that we sort of leave to the side, or we scratch out and maybe at a later time. And so this morning, as we celebrate resurrection, geez, I thought that was funnier, you know what? I guess being a preacher, I thought it was funnier for me. I don't know, either that or you guys are still lost in the dance, one of the two. I see some of you guys dancing in your minds, and thank God that's the only place you're dancing, that's for sure. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Luke, and we're going to read from Luke and Matthew this morning, because I want to read both accounts that they've written. And this morning, I just named it Trust in Its Power. I want you to know you can trust in the power of the Word of God. Amen? Amen? You can trust in the power of the Word of God. It never returns what? Void. And it hasn't, and it never will in your life either. So we've got to learn to trust in the power. Luke 24, in verses 1 through 12, it says, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is what?
Risen.
He is what?
Risen.
Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all those things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also, the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles, but their words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. And then I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has
risen.
He has risen. Just as he said, come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly for fear and great joy. I'm sorry, with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take my word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed, and this story was widely spread among the Jews as it is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And they saw him and they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. In John 19 and verse 30, I know, just prior to this, it says, therefore, Jesus had received the sour wine, and he said, it is what? He said, it is what? And he bowed his head, and he gave up the spirit. And you know that word spirit, I mean, that word finished, it's a Greek word. It means one that is sent on a mission and later to return. One who is sent on a mission and later to return. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm on a mission. The Blues Brothers said they were on a mission from God. Amen? You're on a mission from God, a real mission from God. You've got a purpose and a plan and a calling upon your life. And when Jesus said it was finished, upon finishing his assignment, he had done exactly as the Father had requested. And the use of this word, it means the exact moment Jesus cried out. He was exclaiming to the entire universe. To the whole universe, everything that was ever created heard those words. And the rest of the universe all knew what it meant. They all heard it, and that every single planet, every star, every wind, every breath on the planet, every animal knew when Jesus cried out, it's finished. They knew that the plan of God from the beginning until now was about to be completed. And all of the promises that they read about and they heard about, everything, when they heard the voice of the King of Glory say, it is finished, nothing in the universe was left undone. Everything was accomplished. Amen? Everything in the entire universe. I want you to know, everything that you have need of, it's the same words. It is finished. Tell your neighbor, say, it's a finished work Christ did. Okay? It's a finished work that he did at Calvary. And then as we, you know, we look at what God has done now, even in the face of unfathomable challenges, Jesus Christ still went and finished it. And I know each of us, sometimes we look at our lives and we think that there's some unfathomable challenges that we're going to go through. There's things that you never expected to, with losing of loved ones and sons and daughters and these things that we have to walk through in life and the abuses that are out there. But I want you to know, it's not unfathomable to God to be able to walk with you all the way through it in victory. Amen? Everything about your it is finished. The lies of the enemy, they have been finished. The curse over your family has been finished. Every feeling of guilt in your life has been finished. All of the rejection has been finished. Every area of your life. He said, it's finished. He said, it's finished. And that was before he went to the grave. That was just before he was, that was before the resurrection. He wanted you to know, look at, I know I'm coming back. These guys were clueless. Sounds like a lot of Christians. We're all in the same boat, right? We've all looked at the word of God. We've heard the word of God. Jesus said, hey, in 3 days, I'm coming back. And the disciples said, okay. But then when he died, all is lost. Peter says, I'm going back to fishing, going back to what I know. I know that's what Jesus said, but nobody's ever done this before. That's because there's no God like our God, amen? A lot of other ones, they proclaimed it, but it never happened. They talked about their power, but they never demonstrated it like our King. They never lived like he lived, and they never accomplished what he accomplished. The fight was over, and Jesus could finally cry out, I've done exactly what you have asked me to do. His mission was accomplished. In Psalms 22, 16 and 18, it says, for dogs have surrounded me, and band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they have cast lots. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Tell your neighbor, say, no more time for sorrow. Right. He carried them. Where did he carry them to? The cross. What did he say? I'm going to walk you through those sorrows. Yes, there's going to be times of sorrow, but thank God we don't walk through sorrow as those with no hope. Amen? You know, I was just thinking, this is like one of the greatest days for those that have gone on before us, because they're experiencing this for all that it's worth. Amen? All those that have died in Christ are experiencing everything that we're looking forward to. Now, God wants us to walk in that power and that authority and that freedom here on the earth, but they're experiencing the fullness of all of his promises in his presence. They must celebrate Resurrection Sunday more than anybody else, I think, you know it? Because there was no more doubt, there was no more wondering, there was no more pressing in, there was no more fighting through. It was just a celebration. It's just of course, it's every day with them, but on Resurrection Sunday, we remember, and I pray that when you get there, you remember, I told you it was going to happen. I told you to enjoy the Lord while you're here, and it's going to get a whole lot better when you stand before him. Amen? Oh, it's just such a good day. He says, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. Every area of our lives he came to heal. Mark 9:31, it says, for he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise in 3 days. You can trust in the power of Jesus' words. So many people still doubt it. Man looks for ways to try to disprove it, but nobody has been able to. That's because the word of God never returns void. Never. Every man or woman that ever dives into it and looks at it from the perspective of where it was written, who wrote it, how it was written, every one of them come back with the same testimony. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility that this could just be some made-up, fabricated story. I was reading about, I don't know how many know Chuck Colson, right? He had the largest prison ministry, right? He built the largest one. There's a reason why he built the largest prison ministry, right? Because he was in prison when he started it. It's funny how ministries start through our experiences, isn't it? And Chuck Colson, he was working with Nixon, remember, in Watergate, when that whole fiasco went down? Well, when the truth came out, there was 12 men. They said we were the most, this was Chuck Colson's testimony. He said we were the most powerful, the most prestigious. We were the ones that were in charge, and everybody was looking to us. And we went to the president and said, okay, this is what we got to do. Here's the story we're going to tell. It was 10 guys sitting there with President Nixon and saying, guys, we got to put the lid on this because this gets out. We got problems. 10 men, some of the most powerful men on the planet, all got together and they told one story. And in 3 weeks, they were gone and Chuck Colson was in jail as a scapegoat. 10 men, the most powerful on the planet, couldn't keep a lie for 10 or for 3 weeks. Why? What happened? One man chickened out and he went and he told the president everything. They were trying to protect the president. He told the president everything. And then he went and told the newspaper to save his own hide. We got 12 men to walk with Jesus Christ. They knew the story. He was buried. He was crucified. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And we're 2,000 years later, and the story is still the same. It hasn't changed. Amen? And every one of those men, except for one, became a martyr for Jesus Christ. Beaten and brutalized because they believed, they knew the truth. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives were changed forever. They went from mice to men. They went from those that ran in fear to those that were unstoppable and courageous. They went from those that cowered at the sight of persecution to, as the historian said, Peter was crucified upside down and said he wasn't worthy to be crucified the same way that Jesus was. What makes men and women not turn back not worry about what's coming, because we know the power of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to have to trust in that power. And it's amazing that just before it's finished, in Luke 22 and 53, it says, While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. The night that he got arrested, he said, but with this hour and the power of darkness are yours. Isn't it amazing how from the beginning of time, God set this up? His word was so true. We see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament all the way through, God's plan and his purpose. And Jesus was so sure of his word and the word of the Father that he could look straight at the enemy. And he said, you got an hour to play your game. You got 1 hour. That's all you get. He said, I'll play your game for an hour. And the enemy knew. He knew the word of God better than the disciples did. But he didn't know how this thing was going to go down. He knew most of it, but he didn't know all of it. Thank God for the New Testament. Now we know all of it. Amen? We know what happened in the beginning, and we know what happens in the end. And then God fills it in for us all the way through it. I want you to know, the devil had maybe an hour of your life, but when you came to know Jesus Christ, he got thrown off of his throne. Amen? He had an hour of your life. Maybe it was years, but it was only in an hour, because eternity is coming for every single one of us. There's a time and a season that's coming, so you can look at the enemy and all the problems that you walk through, the pain, the hurts, the guilt, the shame, all of it, and you can look at the enemy in the face and say, you had your hour. You had your hour. But now I'm standing on the word of God. Now I'm standing on the promises, because there's power in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan had been set. Jesus knew the plan and walked it out. He was able to look him in the face and get ready, because my hour is coming. Oh, man. You know, to be have our understanding and be there with the disciples. Huh? Have our understanding, be there. Those guys are all like, he's on the cross. His life is over. Don't worry, guys. The enemy only's got an hour. It's coming. It's coming. What? Who are you? What is your problem? Right? How many people have you told them, hey, Jesus changed my life? Get away from me, you wacko. Right? What are you, one of them fanatics now? What are you, crazy? You pack into a church in the middle of a pandemic? Oh, my goodness. You guys lost your minds. No, you've got the mind of Christ. Ah, he's a good God. Matthew 28 and 2, it says, behold, there was a severe earthquake had occurred, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. I would like to have been there too, amen? Yeah. Man, but you see, it says there was a severe earthquake. You know, that angel came down, but I think that earthquake was Jesus coming up. I think that earthquake came because he grabbed the chains of death, hell, and the grave. He took all of those souls that had been laying in the grave, and he came up out of it, and that earth shook when the power of God was made manifest on the earth once again. He went down, and he took all of the authority of the enemy, and when he came up into that tomb, the earth shook because the kingdom of God was transformed onto the face of this earth with power and with authority. Amen? All of it happened. The angel was just flicking the stone away. Look, at if Jesus wanted to get rid of the stone, he'd have just done that. Yeah. It would have been sand. They wouldn't even have known there was a stone there. He could have walked right through it with his imprint right into the stone. They would have seen the outline of his body. They could have sold that. You know, the church could have coined that rock and had everybody come and worship that too instead of the king. That's what they do every time Jesus does anything. He could have destroyed it. The angel flipped it out of the way and got rid of it. There was an earthquake. Listen, the day that you accepted Jesus Christ, there was an earthquake that happened in your life. Amen? But that earthquake sent tremors. You know where it sent it to? All through your family. It was the power of God coming into your life, transforming you in an instant. Everything that you were has been dead and buried, and it's gone. Amen? All things have become what? New. All things have become what? New. Tell your neighbors, I'm a new creature. Tell your other neighbor, say, you look like a new creature. You look like something's never been created before on the face of this planet. Hallelujah, because every one of us look amazing. We look like Christ. Amen? That earthquake shook, and it's still sending tremors through your family. Maybe you haven't seen the fruition of it all come to pass in your family. Maybe they're not all saved. Listen, I wasn't sure about my dad. I got to be honest. My dad is here, and I love my dad. Thanks for being here, Dad. But I wasn't sure if he'd ever make it. You know, them plumbers are pretty thick-headed sometimes. But then one day, we prayed, and I got to baptize my dad right here. Same place that we had that glorious experience last week. Amen? People's lives being washed and cleansed and made whole in a moment with the King. Why? Because they stepped out in obedience, because they said there's power, there's authority in the Word. There's authority in the name of Jesus Christ. There's authority in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing lacking in you this morning. He said, he came. I love that old song, Up from the Grave He Rose, right? You remember that one? The younger one's like, my. It's a mighty triumph over his foes. Every one of your foes, when that hit you, when the presence of Jesus Christ filled you on that day that you received him, at that moment, all of your foes were vanquished. They were vanquished. They were beaten already. And then it takes a while for us to renew our minds, amen? Because we don't know that they're beaten. Sometimes we're beaten against an enemy that's already been defeated. Sometimes we're going back in and say, get up, I want another fight, right? Get up, I want to kick you again, get up. We try to fight again. He said, I'm already beaten, leave me alone. Jesus already destroyed me. I have no authority over you. Tell your neighbor, say, he's got no authority over you. Come on, you're free. This is Resurrection Sunday. He has no authority over you. Man, that's freedom, isn't it? He said, look, think on these things. God said, you spend enough time thinking about the old things. There was an earthquake that came into your life. I don't care how destructive and damaged you were before. I want you to know when I come in, I'm breaking it all out. I'm destroying every chain. I'm breaking every rock. I'm piercing every heart. I'm softening every single one of them. I'm going to renew your mind so the only thoughts you have are, this is who I am. This is who I am. He's destroyed it all. When that thing shook your body, your whole family shook, and they said, ah, I don't know if I want to be around you anymore. Why? Because darkness hates light. Now we get a little overzealous at times, and, you know, we've told them all they're going to hell if they don't accept Christ, maybe, at times, and we gotta chill out just a tad, right? And we've got to grow just a little bit in order to just speak what his word said. You know, I don't see Jesus running through the streets screaming, you're all going to hell. But I see him loving them in so many wonderful ways. They're bound to love some of them. Amen. There's so many ways that God has transformed and changed our lives. I want you to know that earthquake is still shaking things in people's lives around you. When you walk onto your job, you walk in and there's a shaking that happens. Because when Jesus came up and he shook the whole earth, listen, when he comes in, he shakes everything. Can we all agree that maybe there's some more shaking that needs to happen in our lives? Maybe we just need to let go of some more thoughts. Maybe we need to let go of some more attitudes. Maybe we need to let go of some more, I don't know, habits. Habits, trained ways of doing things. We need to let them go and say, wait a minute. My God set me free. I'm not going back there ever again. He rose from the grave one time. And he said, it's finished, and that's enough. You don't need anything else. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony is what sets you free. And it says, they did not love their lives even unto what? Death. Why? Because death has no sting. The grave's got no victory. Right, 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Tell your neighbor, say, I got faith. Tell your other neighbor, say, you got faith.
You got faith.
Right. See, if two people with faith get together and they start to pray, if one puts 1,000, two put what?
10,000,
the flea. That's right. And if any two agree as touching anything on earth, they shall have what they say. So we're going to be one of two things. We're going to be what the world says, or we're going to be what he says. I believe that you are who he says you are. And I believe you can do what he said you can do. And I think the things that he's going to have you do here shortly is greater than the things you've done yesterday. I believe it's coming. I believe that God is getting ready. He's poised. He's moving on the hearts of men and women right now. You're here today. You've invited friends and family. Why? Because God is moving on the hearts of men and women this morning. Some of you maybe invited people here today because that's one of your quizzes for the college class that you're taking. And I said, if you don't invite anybody and I don't get to meet them, you get a zero on your quiz. Because we got to learn the word of God and then we got to implement the word of God. Amen? He who fights with the precious blood of Jesus fights with a weapon that can know no defeat. I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord, but I want you to know, when we stay walking with the Lord, reminding ourselves of the power of the word of God and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you're in a war that you cannot lose. Every battle is an opportunity for victory. The only thought in your mind, we are victorious through what? Jesus Christ, who strengthens us, right? We are victorious. He didn't say, hey, we're going to try and win. He said, I've already done it. It is. I have risen. I have. Right. He said, look, it's finished. I've done everything that needs to be done on the cross. I've obeyed my Father to the letter. I'm a sinless man that has been crucified. Now I have the right to take back what was stolen in the Garden of Eden. And he went back and he took it back. And there was people walking around that had been dead for quite a while when Jesus came out of that tomb. Holy, I would have loved to have been one of them guys. You know what they were doing. They was walking with. They didn't, you think they cared about what anybody thought of them? They've been dead for a long time. They're walking by people, who do you think I am? I'm a servant of the Lord Most High. I'm the one that Jesus raised from the dead. Could you imagine that conversation? Hey, who are you? I'm over there. Look at my headstone. Yeah, that's who I was. But right now I've been glorified and I'm spending eternity with the King of Glory. People walking around that have been dead. I would have loved to have had a conversation with them. And I'd love to see what they said to people when they walked past them. With the blood of Jesus, sin dies at his presence. It dies. Anytime the blood comes close to sin, it destroys sin. The blood has never been compromised. It never loses its power. When he was risen from the dead, he sealed the word of God for all of eternity. His victory was given to those who believe. Those who believe this morning. Heaven's gates were opened, and we're going to march in as conquerors, and we are always conquering. Amen? No matter what the situation is, no matter how bad it looks, you are a conqueror through Jesus Christ who strengthened you. And every situation when we obey the word of God, because it never loses its power, then you're always conquering. We conquer fear. How do we face it? We look at it. We deal with it. And we agree that perfect love casts it out. Amen? Right? So no matter what situation, no matter what the situation was with any kind of relationship that you have ever had in the past, you're going to have to face some of them. You're going to have to either repent or you're going to have to say, look, this is what hurt me. And whether they forgive you or not, or whether they repent or not, it's a moot point. It's Jesus walked out and was obedient to the Father, even unto the death. And because of that, he said, it's finished. It was victorious. On the day that he arose, he sealed it all, and it's our same fate in each one of our lives. If we'll walk in obedience to the word, every battle you get in, you're a conqueror. And you are conquering. You know, we're walking, we're walking in a time where, death isn't death anymore. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. Death isn't death anymore. It isn't death. You never die. You leave this planet, but you never die. The Bible says in John that even if you die, yet shall you live. That's right, for those that are in Christ Jesus. So death isn't death any longer. That was the great hurdle that men were petrified of. Tell your neighbors, I ain't scared. You know, and one last point. Now, I find it interesting that when Peter and John raced to the tomb, right, they came in and they told the disciples were all there. And the women said, hey, Jesus was raised from the dead. And they actually said that the women, it sounded like, they looked at him and thought it was like nonsense. Because they were talking like crazy. We went to the tomb and then there was an angel there. And then the head was there. And then the clothes were on the tomb and Jesus was there. We met Jesus. And the men were like, what the heck is wrong with you girls? We understand. We understand. They were talking out of their minds. It sounded like nonsense. It wasn't possible. And then Peter and John, they took off running. Peter, he's a little slow. We know that through the scriptures, right, in many areas. Peter's a little slower, and John gets there first, and John just peers in. What's Jesus do, or Peter do? Peter just walks on in. Love the boldness of Peter. Just walk on in. I want to experience everything that's happening in there. I want to know for sure. I want to see where he's laying. I want to see it all. Can I encourage you? You've all heard about Jesus Christ. He's the Son of the living God. He said it's finished. He died for your sins. He died to set you free. Only two of them got up and took off to see if it was real. You're going to have to make a decision in your life. There was a whole bunch of them in the room. They were probably sitting there talking. People like to sit around and talk. But two of them left the crowd, and they said, we're going to see. We're going to experience. We're going to find out. I'm not waiting for someone else to go and do it for me. I want you to know this morning, you're going to have to be one of those that gets up and does something. You know who God uses? The ones that get up and go do something. You know how many things I've done wrong since I've been pastoring? I just wanted to do something. Sometimes I did it wrong. And God still honored it because my heart was right. God's good like that. Amen? God will still bless you even in the midst of your silliness. But he's looking for men and women that will at least step out and go tell their neighbor that Jesus Christ is Lord. That earthquake shook you. That earthquake shook your family. And James and John were in the room with all of them, and only two of them got up and took off running to see what was going on. They wanted to know all about it. They wanted to experience it. And I want you to know this morning, God wants you to experience him. John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he always asks that question, do you believe this? See, that's the question. We know the word of God is true. We know that it's been proven true. Many times in the past, we talked about all the facts that come along with the resurrection. This morning, my question is, do you believe this? See, I believe in the power of God's word. I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in the power of answered prayer. There's power in prayer. Amen? There's power when two or three get together and start to pray. My mom got together with three or four women years ago. I was in the military, and they got to praying. That earthquake shook all the way down to Mississippi. I was stationed down there, and it shook one morning. I woke up not in the right mind, and it shook and said, you want to do something different, or you want to keep doing it your way? Let's see. Broke, jail. Lonely. Let's give you a try, Lord. But it was the prayers of people that shook Biloxi, Mississippi. And I'll never forget it, opening up them yellow pages, and it said Cedar Lake Christian Assembly, and my life was changed because a couple of people believed in the power of God's word. And everything changed. You're here because somebody prayed for you. You're not here on your own volition. You're not here because you're smart. You're not here because you're strong. You're not here because you are a KIA, know-it-all. You're here because somebody loved you so much that they started praying for your deliverance, for your healing. They started praying you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. They started praying that the lie of the enemy would be broken over your mind and over your heart, and that you would be able to see clearly. And I don't know about you, but those prayers cost me to go into a church. And when I went in that night, I had no idea what was about to happen. But I want you to know what happens is the Holy Ghost, we preach, but the Holy Ghost starts to touch hearts. Amen? The Holy Spirit gets all the glory. He gets it all. Because I can say 2 + 2 = 4 and people cry, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost does, because he takes those words and says, let me tell you something, I'm going to save your whole family 2 by 2. And it's like, oh. The Holy Ghost changes things in our lives. Amen? It's the foolishness of preaching. But then the Holy Ghost starts to work on people's hearts. I have no idea what that preacher said that night. Can't remember. I remember his name. I remember he sang. But I have no idea what he said. I just remember agreeing and answering the call to come and give my life to Christ. So that earthquake that shook on a Saturday morning. That's pretty cool. I just thought about that. The earthquake shook on Saturday morning, and that night, the next night, I gave my heart to the Lord, and it shook everything in me. It shook me so hard, it caused a girl to shake and fall right over against me and say, will you marry me? It was incredible. It's incredible how much power prayer has, amen? I said yes, and you know, that's why we're here, but we've got to be those that trust its power. I don't know where you're at today, but I know where he's at. He's right here. He's in the midst of his sons and daughters. And he said, it's finished in your life. The lies of the enemy are finished. The hurt and the pain, we're going to walk through that. And I'm going to show you how to walk in health and wholeness in your mind and your will and your emotions. Look, we know that's all real stuff. But he said, I know that stuff is all real, but I'm the one that's able to heal. I'm the one that's going to bring you out of darkness into the light. And so wherever you're at this morning, I believe that God's looking for some people to be resurrected. Amen? I don't know about you, but I love the day that I got resurrected. I had no idea what happened. I didn't know. But something changed in me. Because instead of drinking a 6-pack for breakfast and 3 for dinner, I never drank again. That earthquake is real. The power of God is real. And it can destroy the works of the evil one if you'll let him in. So this morning, stand up with me, would you? And we're going to pray. And my prayer is that whatever the stronghold is, if you're already saved, I believe it's a resurrection Sunday for you. If you're already saved, if there's something that's been stopping you from pressing in, stopping you, there's a thought process, there's an experience. Listen, there's some rough experiences in church, ain't there? Nobody wants to say anything. Trust me, there's been some rough experiences for me. You know the guys I got to work with. But I believe that God's a healer. Maybe you started out and you said, this is what the way it's going to be for my life. And it hasn't turned out that way. It's not over. This Sunday's coming, amen? That earthquake's about to break loose in your life. He's about to shake things. Maybe some that have just been these little annoying thoughts. Maybe it's a habit or a ritual that you have done. Maybe it's something that's been going on outside of your control, because there's people praying for your demise too. The occult is real, amen? Maybe it's something outside of your control. I want you to know there's a breaking going on this morning. There's a shaking going on this morning. There's deliverance that's going to happen this morning in your life. You're going to have to trust in its power. It's not going to be your might. It's not going to be your strength. It's not going to be your power. It's going to be the power of the resurrected Savior working on your behalf as you walk in obedience to his word. Amen. Jesus fulfilled it all because he did what the Father said. That's all he did. So this morning we're going to pray and we're going to do what the Father says. I'm going to pray and you're going to agree with me. I'm going to pray the word. Don't worry. You're going to agree with me. And then we're going to watch the shaking happen and the resurrection in people's hearts, lives, and families start to take place. There's an earthquake coming in your life today. Even if you've been saved for a while, God's about to move things in your life. I'm telling you, he's already been moving them, but he's getting ready to move things out of the way, and he's moving other things into your life. That's what he's getting ready to do. And I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's powerful. Let's pray. Come on, agree with me. Say, Father, today I agree Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I agree his blood was enough to wash away my sins. You are my Lord and my Savior. And today I break every curse. Today I agree that there's shaking through the power of God in my life. I am free. I am free. I am free to do the will of my God. Every lie, get out in the name of Jesus. Every stinking bit. Oh, no, let's change that. All guilt and all condemnation, get out in the name of Jesus. I'm free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Right now, right now, you said ask and you shall receive. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Father, today I thank you for each and every one that is here and all of those that are watching. Father, I thank you that as you said, it's finished. The blood was enough. As that earthquake came and you stood up out of that grave and you went and you spoke to each and every one of your disciples. 500 saw you on the earth before you ascended to the Father. And then all power and authority you deposited in each one that received you. Father, today we thank you that we're filled with power. We're filled with authority. We're filled with strength. We're healed in the name of Jesus. Every area of our lives, we're surrendering it to the power of your word. No longer going by what I think or what I feel or what my experience of yesterday was. Father, we're going and walking in the freedom that you brought on Resurrection Sunday. That day that you took back all that was stolen in the garden. Today we stand as your sons and daughters, strong in the power of your might. We are conquerors and always conquering no matter where we go. Death isn't death to us any longer. Thank you, Father, for loosing us today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, I'm free. In Jesus' name, amen.